Well, it is all your prayers tonight. My thought is wax gross. When God made Adam and Eve, He put them in the Garden of Eden, and I tried to wonder what that might be like, or might have been like, because it said garden, and that gives you some ideas that it sounded like it had some parameters. It something was special about it, I think. I think of some of the pretty gardens that I've seen. Used to be, when I thought of a garden, I just thought of the vegetables that we planted, but this was a lot more than that. It held all of life to them, and it had the tree of life in it. And I think they took care of the garden, and it was home to them. But I thought about, what do you suppose was the most special thing about it? Wasn't a lot said about it in details. But it did say that the Lord would come down in the cool of the evening. It'd be hard for me not to think that that was the most special thing about it. The Lord came down. God came down and visited them in the cool of the evening. He had fellowship with them. He created them, and it speaks to me that God wanted communion. He communed with them. Now, if you'll follow my logic and give me this liberty, this is my logic anyway, that God created a creation that He could commune with. God can create anything He wants. But He made a being that He wanted to choose to commune with Him. So He made man. Now the Scripture says that I am the Lord, I change not. So I'm going to suppose this as logic. If He wanted to commune with Adam and Eve, I'm going to assume that He wants to commune with me. He's never changed from that. And I'll take the logic further that I don't believe that there's any of God's creation that He don't want to commune with. I think it's one of His highest purposes and desires to be able to commune with His creation. Yes. Then I ask this question too. Then why doesn't He? I think it's in the heart of God to be able to speak to the souls of men. I think He wants to be able to say, I love you. Don't you? I think He wants to be able to say, I don't want your life to be ruined. I don't want sin to take you away. But man fell from that communion in the garden that he had with God. Things drastically changed in that communion when sin came in. There came a place that his heart was no longer able. Something happened in Adam's heart. Not God. Not God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The heart of God is continually wanting to commune with His creation. I believe that. All of His creation, every individual was created to commune with God. I believe that. I believe God wants to. But sin came into the world and put a barrier between that. The word atonement, or if you want to kind of break it up, the word at-one-ment, to come back together again. This was the process that Jesus came for to restore the communion. To restore the ability for us to be able to commune once again with the Lord. I'm thankful that He did that. But I have to say again, then the whole process has come. Jesus said it's finished. We got a plan now. And yet, does everyone commune with the Lord? The access is made. We all can. Let's look at a scripture. Matthew 13th chapter. And we'll start with the 14th verse. It says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall not see, and shall not perceive." Then all the elements are there. Right? Do you know that God is still God? Do you know that God prevails over all? Do you know God's hand is in everything? The running of the whole universe is in the control of God, is it not? So how can we be so blind that we can't see it? How can a people be so deaf that they can't hear it? God's in it all, is He not? Surely that He is. And yet He says here, this was a prophecy that was laid down for this, that people would get to this place, that they would see the events of life. But they wouldn't see. They don't see. To not be able to see, something happened with people. Do you know people are getting blinder as the time goes on? It's harder and harder for them to hear and know and really understand what anything's really about. We're going further and further into just totally a secular world. Totally secular. Everything that you can feel. Everything that you can touch or look at. That's all that life is to most people. And they don't have the ability to understand any of the things that go on around them. Not in the world, not in other people's lives, and not in their own lives. They're not able to understand and see that there's a God that works in people's lives and is speaking. He's speaking. He's trying to say something to us, always. He's trying to say something to help us all the time. I believe that. I believe He's in continual process of communing. But it isn't God that's not communing.
That's right.
It's people. Listen to this scripture. It said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." Now we had last night about increments. Waxing is incremental. That's what that's talking about. It didn't just pop up. It's been incrementally going. The word gross is interesting. Do you ever hear somebody say, "That's gross"? It's just gross. Well, that's part of this, probably where it came from. The word gross means thick. It means thick. Heavy. Fat. Kind of slothful. That's what gross, that was calloused. Your hands thicken you know, I can shake people's hands and I get a reading off of their hands. Brother Dan's hands, they're thick. My daddy's hands was thick. You know what he done for a living? He was a mechanic. And he had tools in his hands all day. Every day, that's what he done. And he had thick, calloused hands. I notice another one. I shake his hands, I can tell you something about what his work is. I'm not saying there's any virtue one way or the other. I'm just telling you, using an illustration here, from the continual workings of it and doing it, it becomes calloused, becomes thick. Their hands ain't as sensitive as well, you won't find no calluses on my hands right now. At the end of the summer, a lot of time, or fall, a lot of times I do, because I'm chainsawing. If I'm home, I'm doing stuff, and I'll build a layer of calluses on my hands. But it's been a while since any of that's happened, and they've all went away, and they're not there now. My hand is more sensitive than they are. Brain surgeons generally won't have thick, calloused hands. People that touch and do little small things don't want that kind of hands, because they have to feel. And this is what this is talking about. The people's hearts have got to the point that they can't feel.
That's true.
They can't feel anything. It isn't that God's wanting to speak to you. You know, this is one of the worst places, folks. Beware. I wish I could put a flashing light up here. Warning. Warning. And let it flash through this whole... I hope that image is in your mind all through this message tonight, because this is a very dangerous place. And it is dangerous because I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And the Lord can work with people. He can send a powerful message under the anointing. People that are sensitive hear it, they see it, they understand. They understand this is eternal. It's eternal. Those that work with the Lord are saying this is eternal. This is a woe. Lord help. And we see a people that's wax gross. And they can't perceive that what it is. They don't understand what it really is. That this is an eternal thing. That my very soul for eternity, my hands right here on this night. My hands on it. Do you know that the multitudes of the people never see God? But yet to those that are in tune, we see God. After the 911 attack, there was a few people dared to suggest that perhaps God had allowed this to stir us up. And when they suggested that, there was an outcry that hollered, "Foul! Foul! You can't say that! You cannot say that this is wickedness and this is what's happened! You can't say that!" And I'm standing there saying, "You can't? You can't?" Multitudes of religious people started hollering, "Foul! Foul! Don't get into our lives! Don't try to tell us that this way's wrong!" And the ones that had originally said it backed up a couple steps and said, "We're sorry." And I'm saying they should have never apologized for the truth. Then there was a disaster strike in New Orleans. Remember it? Hurricane Katrina come. There was a great devastation. Many people died and all that. And there was somebody that was so bold and so daring that he up and said that perhaps that this was God's way of trying to stir our hearts. And then there was a number of people hollered, "Foul! Don't say that. You can't say that." So he backed up a couple steps and said, "I'm sorry that I said it. It was insensitive." And the multitude of religious people said, "That's not God. God wouldn't do it." And I have to say, time out. You want me to prove that He will? If you believe the Word of God, I can prove to you that He has, He will. He will do it. We got to the point that we've waxed so gross that we can't see and feel and understand spiritual things in this country. We don't move at the promptings anymore. And I have to say this. Then what can God do? Do you know God's going to one day prove it to everybody that He's God? The Scripture says that every knee shall bow. And every mouth's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now that's set. That's going to happen. And you know He could prove it on this earth that He wanted to, but He won't. But He continually always speaks to those that will hear. Now to me, the Lord speaks in English. He's an English-speaking God, right? No. I don't know, Brother Harry, what language does the Lord speak to you in? What do you hear it in? Well, I mean, the Lord, I speak English, so if He said something else, I would not speak. I get English words for that, but you know, that's not what it is. It's information. It's understanding. It's enlightenment. It isn't just words. It's an understanding of something. It's something that stirs that I see the reality. A lot of times it's not words. It's an impression of the heart. I feel so. I see so. I understand something. The Lord brings things into life, and I'm a human, so I say why, and the Lord says, "This is why. You need to be better here. You need to straighten up here. I'm God. You need to listen." I ain't been listening. So the Lord speaks. How does He do it? Well, to to the prophet, he wasn't in the hurricane. He wasn't in the storms. He wasn't in the lightnings. He wasn't in the thunders. He wasn't in the great, great big things. But he can be. But there was a still, small voice, an impression upon him that came to him that he said, "There's the Lord. There's the Lord." But he was listening. I don't believe that he had waxed gross. A few years ago, I was in a meeting in Wisconsin, Spooner tent meeting that we have every fall. And I had a dream. And it disturbed me. Now, I know I've dreamed a lot of dreams. And I wake up from the dream saying, that was sure a stupid dream. That was a dumb thing. You don't have dreams over anything. Maybe you eat too much or maybe, I mean, I think there's a lot of dreams that don't mean anything, and I'm not saying they do. But there is scriptural evidence that there's dreams that do. I had a dream. Without going into all the details of the dream, part of the dream was as I was standing along my hometown, probably only Robin and Alan would know what I'm talking about, little town of Webster Springs. And they was having a parade. And I was standing along in the hall. The streets was lined and up on this bank at the courthouse was all, and I was standing there and I was watching this parade. And just now there's these little guys on, I don't know if it's tricycles or little cars. You know how these little clowns do their little figure eights and doing all that. There's a number of that come down through there and there's all these people going down and I was watching this. And all of a sudden there was a clown came out there. A big, kind of a larger type clown come out there and the clown began to grow. And grow and grow. It was being inflated. It was growing and growing. In my mind, I looked at that and I become very weary, leery. I become very back. I was, what is it? In my dream, I was saying, and everybody was laughing, laughing, roaring, laughing. And as it got bigger and bigger, it became nearly as tall as a building. And the people under it started crushing them and stomping on them. And the people laughed more and more as it began to kill. And that, and I was turning to the people and saying, trying to get them to understand, you're laughing. This is not funny. This is not funny. This is real. This is real. This is not a part of this. This isn't just for entertainment. This is something real. It's real. And I couldn't get anybody to stop. They just laughed. They just laughed. As it got bigger and bigger and become destructive and destroying and destroying. And I kept saying this is real, but nobody would believe it. They laughed and they laughed and they laughed and silently to the point that the whole underside of the town kind of opened up into this great abyss of smoke and flames and all. And I'm there and the people be going like a herd of cattle started going into this abyss. And I started going too, lockstep. I was going too, but I was saying, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I can't keep from it. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And everybody was going joyful. They were just going like cattle, just going. And I was, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And I was going anyway. And finally, before I got right to the place of no return, I said, Lord Jesus, help me. And what I did, there was power to resist. And I was able to resist. And I said, Lord Jesus, help me. And I was able to resist. And I just started in my dream saying, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And I woke up and I sat straight up. I sat straight up. Multitudes. Hearts has waxed gross. They cannot see the meaning or the implications of any of God's work. Or of any of the evil that's around them. Or any fear of things that are around them. We can take and swallow anything. This country is swallowing anything. Everything. Anything that the devil can dish up this country is wholesale swallowing it. And they're doing it because they wax gross. They can't take any incident or anything and allow the fear of God to back them up. And say, we can't go down this line any farther. If we do, we're going to go beyond the line that we can return. Hearing, you shall not hear, and shall not understand. And seeing, you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, there is still the moving of the Holy Ghost. But there is a scripture, and it was in the days of Noah, that predicted the length of the days of Noah up to the ark. And the way it predicted it was this. It said that the Spirit would not always strive with man. But that He would give them, 120, whatever it was. He'd give them this period of time. But He said that the Spirit would not always strive with men. There come a time in the days of Noah. It said that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. And Noah preached for all that time in the building of that ark. He saved nobody. Because their hearts had waxed gross to the point that they could not understand the workings of God that they had not too many generations come from. The very stories of Adam and Eve, the very idea of their existence and all that that had come down, they had lost the sacrificial way. They had lost the ways of God. They had turned totally to lust and the flesh and had done that. And their hearts got to the point that God could not penetrate that thick, heavy, gross heart.
That's right.
You say, well, what's that got to do with us? You can sit right there in your pew and get a hard heart.
That's right.
You can resist the works of God and get to the place that you're gross and heavy and fat of heart and don't understand and become selfish and don't understand that when the God's doing something, He's trying to speak to you. He's trying to say something to you. He does. He speaks in all kind of ways. He speaks with the impression of the heart. What should a saint do when they run in and face problems? They should call on the Lord. Shouldn't they?
Yes.
I knew a girl that I knew that she had quit smoking at one time. And I saw her and she had told me that she quit smoking, that the Lord had convicted her against it. So she quit. But then when I saw her again, she was a smoking. Well, now, me being the curious type, I wanted to know which one it was. I wanted to know that had she overrode the conviction or if the Lord changed His mind. So, I proceeded to inquire upon that. Well, you had a conviction about it. Well, there wasn't much of an answer, really, for that. But you know, I was talking about it and she had a few excuses. You know, like, well, I know it's not good for your health, but a lot of things isn't. And I said, that's no good argument for me, and never made that argument really. I know you can make that argument, but I never really made that argument because it wasn't the strongest one. Here's what the strongest one was. And I said to her, what do you do as a Christian? What do you do when trouble comes? What do you do when something comes that you can't handle? I got to have a cigarette, she says. I've got to have a cigarette. And I said, right. That cigarette is taking the place that the Lord owns in a Christian's life. That calming, that effect that you get, that's what you lean upon, to calm, all that, that's Jesus' place. You are substituting the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Master of the universe, for a little nicotine rush. She said, you don't think so. I said, that's exactly what I think. That's exactly what I think. That's God's place. So then, if with that in our minds and understanding this, could a little trouble be a blessing to a saint? Honestly? Could a little disruption of life be a benefit? Could it possibly be that something of that nature be the thing that we say? Oh Lord, I need You. Lord, help me. I I recognize when everything goes well, I'm on top of it all, and I'm real tough and strong, and everything's fine. But when it's not, then I have to say I'm just human. I need something bigger than me. I can't handle this. As I'm getting older, I'm understanding something more. The older I get, the more I realize that I ain't in control much. Because it's all changing for me. My mind thinks the same way, but my body don't respond to my thinking. I can think of I can do something like I used to do, but I can't do it anymore. I was amazed when this reality come to me. Playing a softball game and the ball's hit, and I was always used to timing it and picking it up on the right foot, being able to throw the guy out. And you know, the ball was hit and my mind played it out. But you don't get the guy out by your mind. You get him out by throwing the ball. I didn't even catch the ball. I didn't even get close to the ball. In my mind, I was timing the steps, but my body wasn't moving and the ball went on by. And I'm sitting there thinking things are changing. Not in my mind. My mind could still do, but what my body couldn't. I'm noticing the changes in all that. I'm facing some realities. We're all going to have to face them. It ain't about this world. It's about the next one. It ain't about me. It's about the Lord. And I need the Lord. And I don't need my heart to wax gross or heavy and thick and not be able to see the very events God planned for my life to bless me and help me to get me to heaven and me miss it all together. Do you know the multitudes by the millions are missing? Are missing God speaking to them in their lives. And they're taking their selfish ways and running and destroying their lives. And God continues to speak. I believe He still speaks to people. I believe the current place that our society is in is God speaking to us. If we'll listen, He's speaking. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Oh, how hard it was even for those disciples. How many of the Lord's lessons did they miss? Oh, and the Lord just said things to them of, oh, you have little faith. And oh, there'll be a time that you'll see it and understand it and you'll know it. I want to look at another scripture. Let's look at John 12th chapter. Now, if you was to come up to a great body of water, and that water would part. Okay? And follow me. And that water would part. And you would walk across that. It's standing on its edges. You'd walk across that on dry land till you got to the other side. You'd be a believer, wouldn't you? Well, everybody said yes, but everybody that did it wasn't. Well, it didn't go very far. You know, it's like saying, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have denied the Lord when He was crucified. Well, Peter did. But I wouldn't have been the one who crucified the Lord. Somebody did. All right, I'm going to go ahead and take my share. I crucified the Lord. I did. I had a life. That's what He died for. That's what He died for. That's what He... No, the nails couldn't have held Him. It was Him looking at me that held Him there. Do you know that the miracles that God performed, they were God speaking. Absolutely. That's what He done them for. He done them for those that would hear. Those that would see. Those that would be moved. Those that had a heart. They had a heart that they wanted better things and they wanted to understand God and hear God and see God. There was those that did. But you know, the great multitude of people was not touched by Jesus' miracles. Oh, they saw them. But they didn't understand what they really spoke to them for. They wanted the secular things just like our modern world does. You would think that if the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea, they got all excited, sung the songs of Moses and of deliverance, and was all excited about this new life. How long was it till they become disobedient? That's right. It wasn't very long that they turned back to idolatry again after seeing that great miracle. You would think they never would turn back. You would think that would hold them for life, right? I'm going to tell you, yesterday's miracles will not keep you today. They're a blessing to see and to behold, and thank God for everything He does. I look back at them and I say thank God for them, and it encourages me for the next one. But I need something on a daily basis. I need something more and more and something to go on. Let's look at this scripture in 12th of John. Oh, let's see. Well, I'll go back a little bit. Let's go back to the 35th. It says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While he has light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. What? What kind of miracles? What kind of miracles? You mean that little old thing of feeding 5,000? Outstanding miracle, folks. Something that should have moved them. He even said to them after that, you didn't follow me because of the miracles. You should have. You should have, because there is no human way that it could have been done. It has to be divine, and you know it. But you didn't follow me because of them. You didn't say, if with that kind of power to feed them, there must be eternal life. There must be the answers of all life. There must be a worthiness and a way that I can go and find He's right in everything. I'll follow that. They was after the bread. But they done all the miracles. What other miracles did He do? Healed the blind? The lame? The dumb? Oh, that little thing about over there at the Gadarenes where He took care of Legion. What, that little thing? Is that it? You know what they said over there in the land of the Gadarenes? They said for Him to depart. They didn't even want Him over there after He'd done that miracle. Because they were swine herders. And He killed their swine was destroyed. So we don't want you here. You're a disruption to these kind of things. Do they not know that the God of heaven had visited them? Do you know that God wants to do miracles? He has done miracles. But it's Him speaking. He wants to commune. But with the wax, that heart that's wax gross, that heavy, thick, and sensitive heart never sees and realizes, understands the meanings of the things that are around us. You can see God on a daily basis. But you have to look. And you know, you have to be sensitive enough to know it's Him.
That's right.
You have to be able to be in a place to understand what the voice is. The scripture says, Jesus said of His sheep, they know my voice.
Yes.
They're not going to follow. They're sensitive. They're sensitive to my voice. No, you can't be fooled. Have you ever had something speak to you that maybe was somewhat logical or understanding, but the witness was wrong? The witness was wrong. The sensitivity was there to say, that ain't the master. That's not the master. That's the thief that's coming in. But you know, there's multitudes and multitudes of religious people and people by the multitudes that are laughing at the devil's antics. By the multitudes, people place themselves in front of things and watch things that I would say, that's not funny. That's destructive. That'll ruin your soul. And they're sitting and laughing and enjoying it and even sometimes praise the Lord. So insensitive. To be able to incorporate things. I had a guy tell me one time. He said, he said something about football and he said, I like the Dallas Cowboys. Said, who do you like? And I said, I don't like none of them. And he said, I thank God. He knew me. We'd worked together for a long time. He had said, well, I thank God is for the Dallas Cowboys. He said he was a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. I said, we need to go to Romans 1. I mean, you're bringing God down into the likeness of corruptible, the creation. He's not the creation. He's creator, God of all. You're bringing him down like he's something corruptible, that he's like a man. God ain't like a man. He's God. You know, there was no sensitivity there of anything pious at all or anything to reverence. You know, the multitudes might bring God down as he's like a rabbit foot. You can bring him on, take him, you can do anything. Just like God's like that without any sensitivity to the motions of God at all. It's because it's waxed gross. We ought to be fearful. We ought to be fearful of the things. A fear of God is almost non-existent. Lord, help us. Well, I can't do nothing about that. I realize that. We can't change the world. But we can keep this from happening to us. I can keep myself, by the help and grace of God, I keep myself from my heart waxing gross and becoming fat and insensitive to the things. And now I can't even look, I can't even see, I can't even understand the slightest movements of God. This is what this scripture is saying. He said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe because that Elias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Listen, this is an automatic. It puts it in the terms of God doing this, and it's true. But it's in this kind of the way. It's the mechanics of it, if you will. It's the mechanics of it. You don't want the Lord. You neglect the Lord. You don't want the ways of God. You don't want righteousness. You reject it and reject it and reject it. This is what happens. It's the mechanics of the thing. You couldn't see it if you wanted to. You can't hear it if you wanted to. Your heart and your mind becomes blinded to truth and you've accepted a truth. There's no truth at all. It's become the way of the flesh. Why is it that the world has fought so hard to get God out of schools, to get God out of things? Why have they fought so hard to do that? There's one reason, I believe, and one reason alone, is if there's a God, there's morality, because he's dictated morality. And if there's a God, there's morality, and if there's morality, we're responsible. And if we're responsible, we're going to be judged according to what we do. So where do you got to erase it? Let's erase God. There is no God. If without God, morality belongs in the heart of whoever considers it. Whatever I determine to be right is right. But the Lord wants more than that. And it isn't that he's some vindictive being. It's because we're self-destructing, folks. God loves his creation and we're self-destructing. Look at the homes, look at the family, look at the dysfunction of people's lives. It's all because their hearts are gross. They don't see or understand anything. And it's almost impossible to explain at some point because I find myself in some of the arguments of trying to explain it, and you've got to go back so far to build with our world today. It's not like the main part of the population has a background now. That wasn't true 50 years ago. A lot of people had a good solid background that they wouldn't lie, steal, cheat. There was a basis even if they wasn't maybe actually converted or born again Christians. They had a base of what reality, of morality was, and it was something to work with. You didn't have to go all the way back and start with the foundation and try to. But now you can't already start it. You can't start and say, "Well, the Bible, the Word said." That's no convincing. You got to go way back and have the right kind of argument that in wisdom to say you don't understand. If you go here, this is where it's going to end up. I see it clearly. You see it clearly. We see it as Christians. We see it clearly that if you follow the path of sin and destruction, it's going to end here in this terrible, destructive place. We see it. I don't have to be built that foundation. Our children, must, for the most part, don't need that foundation. But when you get out into the world, you've got to go way back and try to build again a foundation to believe. We can do that too. We can get to the point that we don't believe because our hearts have been hardened. Well, there is a solution. It's always the Lord. Let's look at Acts. Oh, 24th chapter of Acts. The 14th verse says, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they called heresy, so worshipped I God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allowed, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself." All right, we're going to get with it now. You don't want to be fat, thick, sluggish. You need exercise. There is, in the natural sense, the body. And if you look at the word gross up, you'll see it has a great lot to do with the body. But this is what this is saying. What are you going to do? Exercise. So Paul says, I exercise myself. I exercise myself in understandings. I exercise myself in God. I determine, Paul said, I determine to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said in one place, "It's no great thing that you judge me." Listen to this. This is outstanding language. Paul said, "It's no great thing that you judge me. You laying judgment on me." I don't know what judgment they was laying on him, but they was laying some judgment on him. And so his comeback to him was, "It's no great thing to me that you judge me, because I don't judge me. I wait until the Lord comes, who's the righteous judge of all. I want to know what the Lord thinks about me." Yeah, you think that I'm out of line? Maybe I am. I'm not going to judge it until the Lord judges it so I can be accurate in it. I exercise myself in the faith of God. I exercise myself to hear Him, to understand what He's saying. I recognize that everything that happens is an order of the Lord, or can be an order of the Lord. A good day, a bad day, an indifferent day. All these things that happen in life, we can search and find God in all these kind of things. And the Lord can speak to our hearts and lead us and guide us. But you know, He's speaking. I can't help from thinking He's speaking to everybody. He wanted to in the garden. And I think He still wants to now. But I think there's a lot that just can't hear. They just have got to the place that they just cannot hear. Must grieve God's heart. Must have grieved God's heart in the day of Noah when He looked down and said, "Of all that was down there, there was one that He could speak to." So what did He do to that one? He went and spoke to him. This is like the Lord. You don't think if there was another guy there that He would have spoke to him? I think that He would have. He spoke to all of them. But they wasn't there to hear. Why? Because the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts was evil continually. They was more interested in the flesh than they was anything of God. Lord, help us. He said, "Now herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I exercise myself continually to stay clear so that I can hear. So that I can listen. So that God, the communion between me and God. He's another place said, if your conscience condemns you, greater is the Spirit. Greater is God. God's greater than your conscience. So if you can keep your conscience clean, then there's a voice of the Lord. Lord, what is this all about? I want to deal with you in your life. Brother Jim White, years before he died, got a cancer on his face. He had a friend that he had went through the war with that they stayed really close over the years, and this man was a medical doctor. This medical doctor looked at that on Brother Jim and said, you need to get that took care of. And Brother Jim told him, he said, I'm going to trust the Lord with it. And he said, oh, he'd get him in with other people sometimes, and he'd make a comment. He said, I'm going to take that off of his face one of these times, he'd tell him. And he'd tell Brother Jim, being a medical doctor, I'm going to predict to you what's going to happen to you if you don't take care of that. Oh, it was gruesome. That cancer was going to do all that stuff. Well, we've seen the results of it before. It was Brother Jim could have said, yes. Well, and I think that was his response. But it won't do it unless the Lord knows it. Do you know that cancer flare up? One time I remember it got quite big and got in his eye was all watery and puffy. And then it'd die back off. And then it'd flare up every once in a while and it'd die. When it first come, he was quite concerned and there was a lot of battling. And, you know, hey, you know how life is. You know, it wasn't but about that big when he died. 17 years later. The Lord is able, folks. Brother Jim testified that I needed it. For every time I looked in the mirror, I saw it. I saw my need of God. I knew what it could do. I knew what it could do. But He spoke to me. Every time I looked, the Lord spoke and said, I can take care of it for you. And He did. Now, He didn't take it away, but you know, I noticed something about God. He's not limited. He don't have to take it away. See, Paul said, I can't live unless you remove the thorn in the flesh. Which is logical thinking. For me to be the man of God you want me to be, Lord, I need this removed from my life. But the Lord didn't say that. The Lord said, you'll be a better man of God if you'll leave it there. And allow my grace. Well, my grace to work in your life. And every time Paul saw the thorn in the flesh, I think he jumped 2 feet up. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think he leaned and said, yes, every time he thought of it. Every time it hindered him, he said, yes, the grace of God. When I'm weak, then am I strong in the Lord. This is the Lord's cause. And I see what He's doing. I see and I understand. I'm going to tell you, if you don't see and understand that, it's a rough road to hoe. It's a hard way to go. But through faith, Brother Jim looked and he'd look in there and I'm going to say this. God didn't have to remove it and He didn't. And He gave great grace and victory in that man's life. And he accepted what the will of God was for him. I'm going to tell you, when he died, he didn't die that. And it was all those years. And the Lord said, I'm going to let that be there. And it is not going to function the normal way of cancer. I'm going to make it do what I want it to do. And He'll do that in our lives too. Paul said, I exercise myself to have a conscience, a clear conscience before God and before men. So I exercise. Got another scripture for you. In 1 Timothy. Oh, let's see, 4th chapter. Sixth verse says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. It says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself. Alright? Rather unto godliness. So see a choice happening in life. And this is the choice is to exercise yourself in righteous behaviors, righteous thoughts, righteous ways, exercising. That means movement, doesn't it? Exercising means doing. Finding the area, seeking, looking for it, exercising yourself in the righteous thing. Put off the things that dull and make numb and the things that hurt and harm. Put those things aside. The lights are still flashing. Warning to your eternal soul. Warning. It's real easy in this United States, 2013, to wax gross.
That's right.
It's the danger of our time. It's just get thick and fat and without need.
Right.
And never hear or see or understand what God is trying to do in this our day. That we would be faithful servants of God is going to take a sensitive heart. It's going to take a heart that is given totally to God in a relationship with God, because there is so many pits, snares, things of the devil, impositions that challenges our very spiritual life. The lights are still flashing. The music of this world is not funny. The jokes that are not funny. The entertainments out of Hollywood and those things that people feed on, they are not funny. They are real. And they are destroying people. Is it not almost daily? The scripture said in the last days that men would be vicious. They would be fierce, it said. Word fierce. They're to be fierce people. You know, it's almost daily you hear about shootings. Killings of all kind of stuff like that. People are becoming, human life is becoming, where this is all. Folks, listen. This is all wisdom speaking. You hearing any of it? You hearing the fact that you can let yourself slip and go and you'll wax gross in your heart?
Right.
Many, many people are sitting and saying, I'm just as saved as I can be, that never hear and see and understand. Lord, have mercy on us tonight. Amen.